And now I'm not sure how much further we're going to go with this, but here's a couple of snatches and patches. One's from former council member and sometime community activist, now I guess K-Squid radio broadcaster, Chris Krohn, who was once, as I mentioned, council member. He was the council member who had me arrested at City Council, one of them. There are a number of them who have. And who, against whose arrest I sued the city in a lawsuit that cost the city hundreds of thousands of dollars, of which I didn't get a penny, and went on for more than a decade. Had to do with the famous or infamous mock Nazi salute, which was essentially a gesture I silently made from the side after Krohn had first promised people an extension of oral communications, then cut off the last three speakers, including Michael Tomasi, an anti-war speaker, Susan, whose last name at the moment escapes me, and me. And in not wishing to disrupt the meeting, but wishing to express my disapproval and my editorial opinion that this was a form of fascistic, acting like a bunch of Nazis kind of move by Krohn, I raised my arm silently as I stood by the side, greeting Susan as she was essentially after she'd been threatened with arrest for not leaving the podium. I think this it's kind of captured in video, and you can find it on YouTube, this still this segment. But anyway, I ran into him last week right before the most recent Huff meeting, which we hold every week at the Sub Rosa. Come to the next one if you want. It's happening Thursday, 1:30 to 3:30. And we plot and plan and scheme and chatter a bit around issues of homeless civil rights. Anyway, here's me and Christopher talking about the recent death of Michael Rotkin, the mayor, who I believe is captured in one of the flashbacks you're about to hear at the end of this contemporary section of the Free Radio Netcast here. Christopher Krohn and I talking about, I guess, about olden times. Talking with Chris Krohn about his show, which comes out when again, Chris?
Thursday to 3:30. Chris Krohn, 80-somethings I have known, and you can go to the KSQD archive page and find many of those shows. One that we just had was with former Mayor Catherine Byers, who's 92 years old now. And we're going to do a Talk of the Bay next Thursday at 5, a retrospective of Mike Rotkin's life, Tim Fitzmaurice, Susie Bright, and a couple other folks who have known Mike for a long time will be reviewing his life. A little bit.
Pandering to the dead and powerful.
Yes, yeah, I'm trying to get ahead here, yeah. pander.
Well, I know it's sort of a... He was a colleague of yours. Actually, not in your first... On your first term, he was...
98 to 2000, yeah. He was on the... He came off the council in 2000, and then he was reelected in 2004. I was on 98 to 2002 at that time.
That's right. So, what's an example of the kind of topics you've been covering in the last, I don't know, few months?
I retired from UCSC about a year ago and started thinking about what I might do as a retired, in quote, person, and looked around and started interviewing people who were 80-something years old, and what have they been doing for the last 20 years? So, it started with... Gene Pirano and Barbara Riverwoman, and I just mentioned Catherine Byers, but George Au and John Sandage. Got about up to about 15 interviews now, so that's basically, and I've been learning a lot from these folks.
What have you learned?
To take things slowly, to be able to say no, to not push yourself where you used to give up things that are stressful on your body, like George Au gave up surfing, and Catherine Byers had to give up marathon running, although she's still hiking 3, 4, 5 miles a day.
Wow.
Gene Pirano, one of my favorite people, who came here to be a communist, I guess, a Marxist, back in, I don't know when that was, in the 70s, I guess. And she's not really given up anything, and she just keeps going along, man, with the bookstore over there. And Barbara Riverwoman.
Which bookstore?
It's the United Nations bookstore across the street from the bus station. Mm-hmm. They sell other things, too, but books. I just bought a book there recently, so I call it a bookstore.
Oh, it is. They have books.
In fact, I bought a book on Harry Belafonte, his memoir, and in it, he waxes eloquently about Nane Alejandres, who started Barrios Unidos. And Harry Belafonte, the singer, the actor, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, came to Santa Cruz a couple times to do stuff with Barrios Unidos.
Any homeless voices on your show?
Homeless voices on 80-somethings I have known. That's a good
Probably
question.
There aren't many of us around, or them around,
they,
I should
don't
say.
Get to be 80, I guess. No, that's a chore now. You give me a challenge to go out and find a homeless person 80 years old.
I can interview him at any time.
Yeah? Are you 80?
80?
Yeah.
Not quite yet.
He feels like 80, bro.
You got a great head of hair, man. I could use some of that.
Yeah, I hope it lasts. I don't know.
You and Robert both, man. What the hell? What kind of genes you guys have?
I'm just lucky that way. Well, nobody thinks I'm as old as I am. I just had my 70th birthday.
I was going to say late 50s, early
60s. That's what everybody thinks, so I'm just lucky. And I think it's hair and body weight are the two main factors I've seen that make people look older. And I've always been skinny.
Plus, your beard is hiding your neck, which you can always tell how old people are by looking at their necks.
Yeah. Yeah, my beard is maintaining its color, and my eyebrows, so that helps a lot. That's just luck, you know. I mean,
you're the opposite of people. Like their beard is gray, but their hair doesn't change color.
Sometimes it goes that way too. Yeah, there's all these different forms that. Some beards come out with these beautiful patterns of gray streaks here and there, and it's really awesome, the uniqueness of it.
I have a question for you, Robert. What do you think about Mike Rodkin, 79 years old, passing away, and what he's done in Santa Cruz? You know, but like, just about mortality and about vulnerability and the process of aging, and you have been here for a while and seen so much unfold in this town. What any thoughts on the demise, shall I say, or the death of Mike Rodkin?
Well, the problem is, you know, I missed Mike on his earlier years when he was being denounced, or he still was often denounced as a socialist and a commie and a progressive, when in fact, once he joined the city council, as far as I could see, was nothing of the kind. I mean, from the very first vote, in 1979, he voted for making the sleeping ban a misdemeanor, for example. So on homeless issues, while he was a supporter of some social services, he wasn't really a supporter of civil rights for homeless people. I think, you know, he was involved with the West Side Neighbors and various groups. He was concerned about political power.
I guess my question really is...
But about mortality, I know. You're interested in what about his vulnerability?
Any more mortal or vulnerable, him having met his passing, you know, and you in retrospect...
Well, I feel conflicted about him because on Sunday, I'm doing my first live show of the week, and that means I'll probably mention, you know, this. I mean, we'll be... This will be playing this interview with you and with Thomas. And so, you know, a human being dies, you know. That's always something that's real. I'm a human being. I'm going to die, too. He's not much older than I am. He was afflicted with some of the illnesses that I probably will be afflicted with or have been afflicted with.
He died of leukemia, supposedly.
I don't think I've had leukemia. That's nice. I'll avoid that if I can. You know, but I mean, I've had cancer. You know, so
I know you have. That's why I was wondering if you thought that you would outlive him, you know, that maybe he would outlive you.
Well, the issue is, I mean, I always...
You're left here, man. You're still in the spaceship. Yeah. He's off.
Yeah, he had a considerably better position than most poor people in this town, and he used it to their detriment, as far as I'm concerned. That's the problem. And that is the issue. It's not really whether one person you died. Now, if you knew him and you loved him and you cared about him as a particular human being, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you want to assess what he did in terms of the city, as I said when I talked to you originally,
yeah.
You know, he did progressive things when he was a youngster.
Yeah, I came
a youngster.
81 because of Mike, really. I read about him when he was became mayor, I guess, in 81, and I saw he was running a program, community studies program at UC Santa Cruz. I said, wow, what is that? I'd never even heard of it before. And I was living down in San Diego, and as a result, came here in 83 and graduated in 87. But anyway, I got to go, but you're like this. This is Gail Pellerin's thing. It's, okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I think she probably was speaking into this and didn't know. Today we mourn his loss, but we also celebrate a life lived with integrity, empathy, and courage. Rest in power.
They said about Desiree Quintero, who died when Rotkin was alive. And
I'm saying instead of rest in peace, it says rest in power. I think it was a Freudian slip.
Actually, that was said the same phrase, rest in power, for some homeless activists who've died. So it's,
okay.
Yeah,
maybe it's a thing, and I just didn't know that.
I would say, it probably is.
All right, man, take care, huh?
All right.
Rest in power.
And we've been talking with...
Chris Crone.
Yes, the Chris Crone. Take care, man.
So I don't know if I'm really up to critiquing Mike Rotkin at this point, or for that matter, Chris Crone, who's still around and perhaps more appropriate because he continues to at least have a voice over the radio, although it sounds like he's doing a lot of fluffing like he always has been doing. You might say he's looking at the positive sides of things. He describes what he likes, what he approves of. But he, for me, it's always been trying to get him to take responsibility for actions he took on the city council that hurt people who are poor and homeless, or things that could have been done or should have been done by others on the council that he could be critical of. He became more active, we're talking about Chris Crone now, in the decades after he left city council in 2002. I think he also ran again, and he actually was a part of a second very brief majority that actually was progressive on homeless issues, mainly because of Drew Glover, an activist African-American guy, local American, who I also thought was very fluffy until he made council. And then he actually began opening up his offices to, and his weekly pre-council, bi-weekly pre-council sessions to and members of the community. Crone made some motions in this direction, but it was more, I felt, sort of symbolic. And half-hearted might not be the proper word, although that's how it often appeared to me. I don't know if I ever got him to apologize for falsely arresting me at city council, not because it was an emotional wound. It wasn't really that much of an emotional wound, particularly. It was just an example of abuse of power, which I felt he needed to repudiate as a member of the community and as an individual who, as a person who claims to be progressive, it would behoove him to do that and recognize that it's important the community, that there be real democratic and open process at city council, regardless of ancient traditions, regardless of the disapproval of his powerful cronies on the council. He never did that, even when he was off the council. And that kind of became the touchstone for me with Christopher. And I got to admit, I think it is easy for one to sort of fall into the habit of fraternizing with, trying to get the approval of, trying to be nice to people in positions of power, not necessarily because you're trying to get some personal advantage, but because it's more comfortable to do that, because you want to be favorably regarded by those in positions of power, not because of a particular motive, but just as a sort of a matter of course, because their position is more legitimate in some way, because they've achieved power. That doesn't even quite cover it, what I'm saying here. I'm a bit tired as I kind of reach this point in the netcast. I'm hoping maybe at some point to have a Rodkin critique, though I'll probably not ever really get to it, because if you want to hear my criticisms of Rodkin, just, I don't know, stay on board for my discussion from, I guess it would be 2010, 15 years ago, when he was on the council shutting down attempts to make medical marijuana available to the community, increase, you know, supporting a prohibition, using council procedures to shut down another council member, Tony Medrigal, was trying to, I think, in a rather both ineffectual and tepid way to get the council to at least hear what some of the members of the public said, and to delay the ramrodded discussion of the thing for a few more weeks so people could have more opportunity to weigh in on the issue. And so if you really want to hear my critique of Rodkin, you can certainly, you can hear it when this edition of the show is over and you hear the flashback, which is a flashback from March 18th, 2010. Or you can just look up the flashback section on the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, and just search for Rodkin, and you'll find all kinds of critiques of Rodkin. I try to avoid religiously following "Thou shalt speak no ill of the dead," because I don't think that's a good lesson to follow. I don't think that's a good dictum to follow. I think you should be honestly assess their lives, particularly if they were in a position to influence and have power over a lot of people, particularly if they're disciples or people who learned from them or people who are doing the same kinds of things they're doing are still now in power. So that's what I think about that. Here's a little something from Thomas, who you heard briefly in that last interchange with Chris Krohn.
Everything is burning as I watch the video. She crawls out of the ruins, venturing to go out in search of water, the final human need. Although the consequences are almost guaranteed as she goes out in the open beneath the killer drones, which aims their sights on her, then shred her to the bones, then waits for any people who might be fool enough to try. Come to fetch her body beneath the smoke-filled sky. 2 million people behind the ghetto wall wait for 2-ton bombs to fall, to crush and burn the schools and tents where your whole extended family went. Scores more murdered with each passing day, with so many more on the edge of being taken away. Surrounded by tanks that fire at will, and the rest of the world stands by still. Completely surrounded with no food getting in, ghost-like faces impossibly thin. Kids that look like babies, babies born, thirsty, starving, and forlorn. And been taken to who knows where. The elderly, the children, the wounded in chairs, with donkey carts and wagons south on view, as the drones above the rubble ordered them to do. They're carrying out the general's plan, which means kill all the kids that you possibly can. Anyone moving, soldiers take aim. Who they are doesn't matter, they're all the same. Make no distinctions, orders decree. Killing them all is just how it must be. And right now in New Jersey, you can buy shares in the resort Jared Kushner plans to build there.
Goodness, we're waiting for the Huff meeting to get unlocked, and it's about 25 to 2, talking with
Thomas.
And Thomas, I know your fellow has been working on not just surviving yourself, you're a proud owner of a vehicle, but looking for an actual place to, a roof, unlike some who lay their mats on the sidewalk or have no mat to lay on the sidewalk. You mentioned that there's a service that you don't know the name of it immediately, but it's associated with the Association of Faith Communities.
Yeah, yeah. And as with a lot of government agencies at this time of year, they're up for their funding review and to get refunded, and so they want to use whatever monies they have left in their coffers at this time to be, you know, empty, so that they can get refunded fully, I suppose. And so they're being perhaps exceptionally or surprisingly generous,
or at least throwing away money, so to speak.
Apparently, I mean, it would seem. And so I was able to get my brakes fixed and some new tires and my rearview mirror that was thrashed to get replaced.
It sounds like something people could use. You suggest contacting the AFC, the Association of Faith Communities?
Yeah, yeah. And
how do you find them?
Well, their number's listed, I think. Anyway, their office is on 501 Soquel. And Victoria is the caseworker I'm working with. She would be definitely someone to ask about it, but probably anybody in the office might know and be able to help you with that.
But of course, if we get back to your situation, perhaps, I don't know if you want to or not, you found a place, but it would take almost all your money, including food money and transportation expenses and, I don't know, everything else, incidentals.
Yeah. Yeah, food, gas, laundry. You know,
we're not talking about a palace on the hill.
No, you know, just basic necessities. And so, like, the average going rate to even rent a room anywhere around here seems to be $1,000 more or less. And that's kind of not really affordable for most of us.
How long have you been... For a while, you were associated with the Association of Faith Communities,
yeah.
And you had a place to bunk for the night, at least.
Yeah.
And then you also tried the pallet section of the funding matters, as I call housing matters. How long have you been housed in a vehicle?
Since last August.
And how has that dealt with your back, your physical health?
It's not good. I mean, I still don't really get a fully good night's sleep most of the time. I end up taking naps the next day in the parks. And, of course, there's no facilities, you know. I mean, I really need a bathroom, let alone laundry. But It's better than camping out and being exposed to thieves who will pull the backpack out from under your head, as once happened to me.
How long ago?
That was a couple of years ago.
Did you ever retrieve it, or did it...
No. And it's not the first time I've been ripped off, but that close, yeah. I mean, it was... Anyway, so having a vehicle is at least a little safer.
A little bit of privacy.
A little bit of privacy and...
Mobility,
yeah. That part's nice.
But problematic unless you have the money.
Yeah. I mean, having a car is a huge expense and a lot of responsibility. And I don't like cars anyway. I want to live someplace where people don't need to have cars. I don't know where such a place is, except...
Even sidewalk bikes?
Yeah.
I call it a sidewalk bike, but it probably really isn't a sidewalk bike.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that there are more forms of transportation coming out now, like the unicycle skateboards and all these different things. So people are getting more creative with transportation. I'm glad to see that. But the general environment, you know, like 40% of all the land is taken up by cars, roads, gas stations, parking lots, auto parts places. I mean, if you think about it, all that land, a fraction of it could be used to house people or set up campsites that would be a lot better than what we got now.
Where do you get your 40% figure?
I read that somewhere, I don't know, some years ago, and sounds accurate to me. When I look around, I see so much of the space that we live in cities being taken up by cars and car-related things. And it's unbearable to me. It's really... So I don't like having a car, actually. I lived for 40 years without one. I wanted to maintain a perfect record till death, but right now I'm glad I have one. But I still don't like it.
Indeed. Now, have you come across anything in the last few months that you comments on the kind of discussions you've been hearing and occasionally the comments you've been making? Maybe you can reiterate them, because I haven't really caught up with collecting all your comments regarding tips for folks who are, should we say, low income, outside, unhoused.
Yeah.
Anything new that you've noticed outside that, or anything that needs to be updated in terms of your previous assessment of allegedly free services, or perhaps really free services? I see the really, really free market is being advertised in the window here. I'm not sure where it's... looks like it's... I'm not sure what Sundays it is, but it's one of those Sundays.
It's usually the second Sunday per month.
So it wouldn't be the one coming up.
No. I think it would have already passed.
That's
for this
really, really free market at the... oh, ho! It's to see Venus and Athena have just arrived. So anything, any thoughts about anything you've noticed that... you want to pass on?
Well, the free movie they had at the Del Mar last week, which featured a film by Malia called Hometown Homeless.
Among various other short films.
Yeah it was really encouraging, especially the little interview with Cooper, who talked about community and people sharing, and that is still like what I see as one of the most crucial elements that we can develop, because if it gets to the point where even all the people who are supposedly in power and have all the money now and their systems completely collapse, we're going to be the ones that they're going to be turning to for learning how to survive. But we need to develop more community organizing, basically. And so I would just stress that issue as being really vital right now. Like, the more that we can learn how to work together, cooperate, you know, work as teams, and kind of buck the individualism run amok, as I call it, here in America, I think the better we'll all be.
Thank you, Thomas.
And that pretty much winds it up for the contemporary edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. What you're now going to hear, as sort of referenced before, mentioned before, is this March 18th, 2010 flashback, almost all of which is taken up with a discussion of and critique of the city council's attempt to impose a prohibition on further medical marijuana dispensaries in Santa Cruz at that time, which is still, to some extent, I think, in force. You also hear a discussion of Anna Richardson and Miguel de Leon, the harassment of these two homeless folks, where the city spent tens of thousands of dollars going after them eventually with a civil lawsuit, and also trying to create new laws, ordinances, and court decisions that would criminalize them for falling asleep in the city center somewhere without offering them real services in any alternate part of town in terms of the general population. In other words, in 2010, it was, as far as the number of homeless people which had even some kind of minimal shelter, which was pretty wretched and was often falsely described as a pathway to housing, the number was much less than it is today, but it still doesn't cover a majority of people, doesn't adequately and appropriately use the funding or the kinds of experience and input that homeless people have, where they could actually create livable, decent, respectful alternatives to the housing that doesn't exist until it does, or allow them to create their own housing in spaces that they need to have. Thomas, at other points, talked a lot about, I don't think he did this necessarily on this particular version of the discussion, but he talked about homeless people having a place to lay out their stuff, so they could sort out their property, and sort of that was something he would want to do. He mentioned it, I know, sometime during that later Huff meeting that happened earlier this week, but I don't know if we actually caught much of it on audio. Probably caught some of it, but we're not playing it, I don't think. However, the 2010 flashback also covers, as I said, extensively the city council, which was then being led by Mike Rutkin. Then I believe he was either mayor or simply what I call the shadow mayor, a very strong person who, I think he was mayor at the time, actually, succeeded then by Don Lane, or Gon Lame, as I call him, but that's a whole other story. But you get to hear an extensive sort of segment of the city council's debate and how they unanimously or pretty overwhelmingly criminalized the application for any kind of new medical marijuana establishments, maintaining the monopoly that WAM, Women and Men Medical Marijuana, the Corral's kind of sweetheart deal with the city, maintained. And that's about it for now. I'm going to cash in my chips for the moment and leave you with, if you're a listener and you give a shit about homeless rights and about sort of reawakening your own conscience and the conscience of the community around you, It's going to be harder and harder, I'm afraid, with what would be likely, what I predict to be war hysteria soon to sweep the country with this latest bombs away, which... which we're going to be enduring and we're going to be addressing, and some of us are going to be combating over the next weeks, months, and years. There is still phone numbers to call to report on homeless or an anti-homeless activity. You can call the Huff line, 423-4833, 423-HUFF. You can also call 216-8239, 216-8239. Your comments about what you've seen or experienced will be recorded. If you want to provide some assistance, you have some time to spare, you have some skills that you want to offer, although admittedly people are kind of struggling to survive themselves and make enough money to make a stab at the rents. Give a call again to 216-8239. My latest entry into the flyer sweepstakes, so to speak, my latest sort of flyer bit, was added to a flyer by Keith McHenry, Stop the War with Iran, Stop the ICE Raids, Stop the Genocide, called, the section, my section was called Low Intensity Warfare Against the Poor in Santa Cruz, Stop the Homeless Sweeps. And I wrote locally, police whack-a-mole raids and property seizures against those outside continue at Coral Street, in the Poganip, and elsewhere. Armory boss Evan Morrison admits there is little or no shelter space in spite of false claims by city PR man Jeremy Leonard. The costly armory shelter has prison-like and prison camp restrictions like curfews, no visiting between tents. Staff there bully and threaten outside visitors with police, or certainly have on one occasion recently. Mayor Keeley's council, his city council, or the shitty council as I call it, funnels millions to phony pathways to housing boondoggles, like the organization Funding Matters, which calls itself Housing Matters. ICE kidnappings have also targeted the homeless. That's immigration and customs enforcement kidnappings have also targeted the homeless in the South County. And unfortunately, there's a more where all that came from. So hang in there, everybody. And again, give a call to the Huff line if you have questions, comments about the show, stuff you want to be put on the air or on, the, I should say, the net. And if you have stuff that you've seen and observed and photographed, and I hope you pull out that camera whenever, that cell phone, whatever capacity you have for documenting, whenever you see anything, even the visible appearance of it can be helpful in deterring or slowing police misconduct. Again, Huff line, 831-423-4833.